others and families. And I do this because I believe it's good that when other people are thinking about a particular topic, that we show them that the Bible has things to say about this and that God has things to say about this. And today, as we come to church, many people will give thanks for their mums. But we live in a real world. And I realize that for some people today, Mother's Day is going to be difficult because this time last year, they may have had a mum. But sadly, she's died during the year. For other people, there will be anger because they feel that their mum was maybe not as good as they would have liked her to have been. Or maybe they never knew their mum because either she died before they were born or perhaps she was nasty to them and she deserted them. Because we realize that we live in a world where many families are damaged and where people don't fit into the nice package of what they say, 2.4 children in each nuclear family. It's not that simple. We each have problems. And we live in a world where there are many damaged people. And maybe this morning, if you were to be honest with God and to be honest with other people, you might feel angry because of your family experience. Well, that doesn't put you outside of God's concern. There was a preacher in the Old Testament on one occasion, and this woman was running towards him, and he sent his servant to this woman, and he said to him, "Ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? And is your child all right?" And in a way, I want to ask that question this morning. Mums, are you okay? And is everything okay with your husband? And what about the children this morning? And I'm sure for many people, they will answer very abruptly, "Of course we're not all right. You know what we're going through. We face this, we face that." And they might want to say, "Our families are either going through difficulty or going through a mess." Well, the passage that we read together this morning is a passage that gives us hope. I want to give you three encouragements for families who are in a mess, or families who have been damaged, or people who have been damaged. And the first thing that I want to say to you from this passage this morning is that God welcomes damaged families. So God welcomes damaged people. Let's look at the opening verses to this passage. Richard wasn't very happy with me. I've done it again, haven't I? I've asked a man to read and given him some big words. Well, we are told about the husband in this family. His name was Elkanah. And then in verse 2, we're told that he had two wives. The name of one of his wives was Hannah, and the name of the other was Penina. So immediately we find that this family is not the way that God planned it, because God's plan for a family is one man and one woman. So we've got problems to begin with. But then when we read on a little bit further, we see another problem in this family. Verse 2, Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now that was bad enough. I know any mum here this morning, or any mother, any woman here this morning who is married and wants to have children, this verse must cause great pain, because you know what Hannah was going through. But that wasn't the end of the story. When we go down to verse 6, we read, "Her rival used to provoke her grievously, to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So we've got this situation. A husband, two wives, one wife has got children, the other wife hasn't, and there is horrible rivalry. But let's not let the husband off the hook, because he didn't help either. And we have the story of them going up to the tabernacle at a place called Shiloh. And we see that he doesn't treat these wives equally. In verse 4, on the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her. Doesn't help relationships, does it, to treat your wives differently? But this is the reality of this particular family, and maybe there are some of you know the reality of this within your families. It may not be a problem over children or a favoritism when it comes to meals, but you know tensions, and your family relationships are damaged. But the damage goes on. We see that Elkanah is not the most sensitive of husbands. Verse 8, her husband said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep, and why do you not eat, and why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" And I can imagine every woman in this congregation this morning thinking, "Men, you just do not understand." And I believe that God has given us this example of a family that knew real issues, so that nobody need come to church this morning and think, "He doesn't understand what I'm going through. He doesn't understand the pain." Your circumstances may be slightly different, but the Bible is honest about families and marriages, parents and children, husbands and wives. And let's be honest, many people in that sort of situation would feel embarrassed about going to church. They might even feel that they couldn't go to church. Have I got news for you? Don't forget, my heading on this point is that God welcomes damaged families. Because we look in verse 3, and it says here, "Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship, to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh." Remember, this is in the early days when Israel has come into the promised land. The temple hasn't been built in Jerusalem. They go to the tabernacle, which was pitched at Shiloh. But what is this verse saying to us? It is saying to any and every person this morning who knows the reality of damaged relationships, even if you've contributed to that damage and you've been the cause of that damage, this verse is saying to us that God welcomes damaged people. The Lord Jesus Christ was even clearer when he was here on earth. He looked out on a crowd one day and he described them as harassed and helpless. There was no direction to their lives. They'd lost their bearings. They'd lost their priorities. They seemed to be going nowhere. And what are we told about the Lord Jesus Christ when he looked out on that crowd? We are told that he had compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. A couple of chapters later, the Lord Jesus Christ actually says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus, when he was here on earth, made a point of finding people whose lives had been damaged. He made a point who'd mucked up, of finding people who had mucked up in their own lives. I want to say to you this morning, on the authority of God's word, there is nothing that has happened in your life that puts you beyond God's care if only you will bring it to him. Jesus actually said that he had come to seek and to save the lost. The people who have got no direction in life. The people who have lived without God. On another occasion he says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that is a glorious truth. Jesus is not waiting for anybody to get right before they come to him. He says, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you in the mess of your life, and I want to help you in that situation. So, God welcomes damaged families or damaged peoples. The second thing that this passage teaches us is that God listens to damaged people. You know, often we can have a situation where there is an offer of help for people, and people are simply like a number, almost a herd of cattle being herded through. And they say, yeah, right, next one. But God listens to damaged people. God is concerned and hears everybody who cries out to him. And Hannah is the one who knows the greatest pain in this relationship. And we're going to look at her now and the way that she speaks to God. Look at verse 9. Now, Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? That's in verse 8. And when she's in that sort of experience of pain, we're told in verse 9, after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. Many people, when they're hurt, when their lives have been damaged, they might feel ashamed. They think, how can I go to God? And there are some religions that say to people, you can't come to God, you're too sinful. If you want to pray to God, you have got to ask a priest to pray on your behalf. Friends, that isn't what the Bible says. The Bible gives the example here. This woman is feeling desperately hurt. She is desperately in pain. And she prays to the Lord. What does she want? She wants a child. And that is what she prays for. She doesn't use religious language. She doesn't beat about the bush. She isn't afraid to say to God what is really on her heart. Now, there are people, and they're afraid to pray. How can I speak to God? Well, take courage from this woman. She just told it like it was. She spoke to God, and she doesn't use religious words. She just tells God her real need, the real pain that she is going through. Now, there's an important point that then comes up in this story. She's praying, and she's there, possibly on her knees, and her lips are moving, but she's not saying anything. And then you've got this fella called Eli. He's the priest, the religious man, and he looks across at her, and he thinks, look at her. She's drunk. She can't even get her words out properly. And he says to her in verse 14, how long will you go on being drunk? Put away your wine from you. And you might be misunderstood if you were to ask another religious person, a Christian, to help you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. What is it that is causing you problems this morning? Do you feel as though you can't put it into words? Well, Hannah is putting it into words for you this morning, isn't she? She's saying, whatever it is that troubles you, bring it before God. The psalmist says, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. And none of us should be afraid to call upon God in the day of trouble. Let me give you an example again from the teaching of Jesus. One of the most famous and well-known stories of Jesus is the story of the prodigal son, isn't it? And that young man, he had said to his dad, Dad, he didn't use these words, but in effect he was saying, Dad, I wish you were dead so I could have my part of the inheritance. Well, his dad was probably hurt by that, but he gave him the money, he went away, he made a right mess of his life. And when he was in the gutter, that's how we describe it, the Bible describes it, he was sitting feeding the pigs. But when he was in the gutter, he thought, this is crazy. If I go back to my father and I ask him to make me a servant, at least I'll get regular meals. I've missed out on everything else, but at least I will have regular meals. So he goes back to his father. And he says, Dad, I've messed up. I've sinned against heaven and against you. And he doesn't even get the words out. And his father runs to him and he kisses him. He forgives him and he restores him completely. Now, is Jesus simply talking about family relationships there? No. He's talking about our relationship with God. And it may be that you feel that you've gone too far away from God. Be encouraged by what this story tells us. God is not only willing to listen to you, but God is willing to forgive you because somebody else has paid the price of your sin. I want to tell you two important things this morning about prayer. God already knows where you've gone wrong. He knows the details of your life. And when you come to him in prayer, it's not so much that he needs to hear, but that you need to confess. You need to admit to yourself, and perhaps to other people, yes, I've gone wrong. That's the first thing. You need to confess. We need to confess. Because even as Christians, we lose our direction at times. But secondly, God is willing and able to forgive all sin that is confessed to him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So, this story tells us that God welcomes damaged families. This story tells us that God welcomes and listens to damaged people or damaged families. And the third thing that I want us to see here this morning is that God is able to restore and to use damaged families or damaged people. And we go on in reading the story, and we are told that after Hannah had prayed in verse 18, the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Even though at this point her prayer had not been answered, the priest Eli had said to her that God would hear and would answer her prayer. Verse 17, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. Why did she find peace? She found peace because she believed the words of God. Today, we would say that she believed the Bible, but they didn't have the Bible like we have it, so they had to rely on priests and prophets. They had the books of Moses, but this priest was able to say to her, God has answered your prayer. And she believed God's promise. I want to ask you this morning, are you willing to believe God's promise? Are you willing to listen to what God says? And in verses 19 and 20, we're told that Elkanah and his wives went back to their hometown. And in time, Hannah became pregnant. And she carried a son, and she called him Samuel. And she said, the reason I've called him Samuel is because I've asked for him from the Lord. When Samuel was quite a little boy, she gave him back to the Lord. And Samuel became one of the great leaders of God's Old Testament people. He became a priest. He led them in worship. He became a prophet because he spoke to them God's words. And in effect, he was a king because he was their political leader as well. And in time, he was the one to anoint the first king of Israel. So from this unlikely family, we have God willing to listen, and God willing to answer prayer, and God willing to restore and to use. Do you think you're too far away from God to help you? Do you think that your life is in too much of a mess? Do you think that you have been hurt more than anybody else and that God cannot help you? Well, look at this passage and see that God is able to take the broken pieces of your life and to restore them and to use them. And it may well be that God will use you or one of your children in a glorious way so that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is uplifted. Jesus did it with a number of men and women in the Old Testament. God did it with men and women in the Old Testament. Jesus did it in the New Testament. He can do it today. I appreciated Harriet's honesty when she gave her testimony this morning. She and John had not done things God's way, but God drew them to himself. Did he crush them? Did he say to them, stay outside? He said, no, come. And from the damaged life that they had, they have now produced a God-honoring family. And God has taken the broken parts of their life in order that they might live to the glory of God. So, on this day that the world calls Mother's Day, let us, all of us who can, thank God for our mothers and our families. For those of us who have suffered, and my heart goes out to you, if you've known the reality of a damaged family, or you've known pain and abuse in your family, I say to you, turn to God and ask him to restore your life. It might be useful to turn to other people and ask them to help you along this path. But from this passage, see that God is willing to listen to you in the damage of your life. Or maybe this morning, you are somebody who has caused the damage to somebody else. And you think, how can God forgive me? I don't say this lightly, but the gospel says even to those people who have been guilty of causing the damage, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. He will help you to deal with the consequences of your mistake, but he will give you peace and he will say to you, yes, I know what you did wrong, but I am willing to listen and I am able to rebuild your life. Let's pray that the lives of all of us this morning might become useful to the benefit of other people and to the glory of God. As we sing our final hymn this morning,